بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Hey dear brothers and sisters, we're back again continuing what we started last time. We are going to talk also about the same hadith that we talked about in the last episode. The hadith in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deeds are based on intentions. So everyone is going to be rewarded according to his intention. So whoever immigrated for God and his messenger, so he emigrated for God and his messenger, and whomsoever immigrated for worldly gain or for a woman to marry, so he immigrated for what he immigrated for. And this is one of the most important hadith in Islam. Now why? Because as we said in the last episode, everything is based on your intention. Okay, it is your heart that is very important in religion. Your heart is very important. What's your keeping here? Your heart should be in the right place. So sometimes actions do not matter. Intentions are important because somebody may do a deed that is very nice and very great, but he did it to please people, not to please God. He did it because he wanted people to talk about him so well. He didn't do that to please God, so his intention was not right. So this is why he does not get a reward from Allah. He does not get a reward from God. Okay? Now, and in this episode, inshallah, we're going to talk about the other part of this hadith. The other half of this hadith. Now look at the hadith one more time. So we've got two halves here. The first one, deeds are based on intentions. Okay? So everyone is going to be rewarded according to his intentions. So whoever, and this is what I care about this time. Okay, this is what I'm going to talk about this time. So whoever emigrates for God and his messenger, so he emigrates for God and his messenger. And whosoever emigrates for a worldly gain or for a woman to marry, so he emigrates for what he emigrated for. Now immigration, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is said in a parable. He's giving an example here. Okay, a parable that is about immigration. But why immigration? Look, so whomsoever immigrates for God and his messenger, so he immigrates for God and his messenger. But why immigration? Because emigration is one of the hardest actions in life. Because when you emigrate, you leave those whom you love, you leave the place in which you were brought up, you leave the land that you are so attached to. You leave everything behind and you leave this place to move to another. This is not easy. It is not easy at all. So this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this as a parable. To show you that when emigration is done only for the sake of God and his messenger, so you need to expect the reward to be from God, the Great, from God Almighty. So whosoever immigrates for God and his messenger, So he immigrates for God and his messenger. And whomsoever immigrates for worldly gain or for a woman to marry, so he immigrates for what he immigrated for. Now, again, so why immigration is given as a parable? Because it's one of the hardest actions. And also, the reward for emigration is great in Islam. It is great in Islam. And we need to remember very well that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he started his da'wah, when he started his call for Islam, and he was of course in a village of Mecca. He was in Mecca, and Mecca was full of pagans, people who worshipped idols, people who distorted the religion of Ismail, the son of Abraham, peace be upon them all. So they were pagans, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was among them, and he wanted to call them, he wanted to take them away from worshipping idols to the worship of God, the one true God, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Jesus, and the God of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa jami'ah. So he wanted to do that. So the pagans started to persecute Muslims, they started to persecute the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They stoned Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They stoned his followers. They persecuted them. They killed them. They made every horrible thing against them. Then the orders came from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given to him by God, to order his followers to emigrate from Mecca to Abyssinia. For the first time, and then for the second time from Mecca to Abyssinia again. Then the Hijrah, the last one, from Mecca to Medina. And Medina is another city that is very close to Mecca. Okay? And God promised those emigrants big reward. Why? Because they left everything. But why did they leave everything? Did they leave everything for a human being? Did they leave everything for women? Did they leave everything for wine? Did they leave everything for money? No. They left everything only for God. And this is not easy. People kill each other every day for money. They kill each other every day for women. They do every horrible things to get richer and richer. But when people leave everything for God, oh, that is the opposite. You leave your wife, you leave your children, you leave your religion, you leave your father and mother, you leave the society you were brought in, you leave your money, you leave your trade, you leave your shop, just for God. That's big, mate. That's big, and this is why the reward also is bigger. And this is why this example is given. If we are going to look at one of the verses mentioned in the Holy Quran, and let's listen to what God says in order to know exactly how great immigration is in Islam. God says in the Holy Quran, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Some part is due to the indigent muhajirs, emigrants, those who were expelled from the homes and the property while seeking grace from Allah and His good pleasure, and aid in Allah and His messenger. Such are indeed the sincere ones. Now this is a true witness here. This is a true certification here. Now God is talking about those people who immigrated along with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why did they immigrate? They immigrated only for one thing that is mentioned in this verse. While seeking grace from Allah and His good pleasure. This is what they wanted. Grace from Allah. They're waiting for that. They want that. This is what they want. Grace from Allah and His good pleasure. They just want to please God. We want to please you, God. That is really what we want. We don't need anything else. Just to please you, O God. And aid in Allah and His messenger. Aid in Allah and His messenger. Someone will say, aid in Allah, aid in God. Does God need help? No. No, God does not need help. Because God is the most powerful. God is the most high. So, what does God mean by saying, and aid in Allah and His messenger? Because When you aid Allah, it means that you aid God's religion in this world. This is what it means. And this is why God says in the Holy Quran, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you support God, if you make God victorious, God will make you victorious. If you support God, God will support you. But does God need support? No, it means when you support godly people, when you support righteous people, when you support the religions of God, when you support the laws of God, this is how God supports you. And this is how God makes you victorious. So this is what it means. On aiding Allah and His Messenger, such are indeed the sincere one. Now look at this. Yes, they should be called insincere. They should be called that. Because they left everything. They left everything for God. What should they do more in order to prove that they are sincere and that they are faithful and that they are believers? He left everything. Okay, now, another verse also, and it's about immigration, to show you why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this parable. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Those who believe and suffer exile and strive with might and main in Allah's cause with the goods and the persons have the highest rank in the sight of Allah, they are the people who will achieve salvation. Those who believe and suffer exile, immigration. They left the countries for the sake of God. They left their homes for the sake of God. And strive with might and main, those mujahideen, and strive with might and main in Allah's cause. But the goods and the persons, like, they sacrifice everything. They sacrifice money for the sake of God. They give money for the sake of God. They give wealth for the sake of God. They even sacrifice themselves for the sake of God. They give everything for Allah. Have the highest rank in the sight of Allah. Of course, they have the highest rank in the sight of God. Because when God looked into the hearts, He saw that they are true believers and they are ready to leave everything only for Him. They are the people who will achieve salvation. Of course, there will be winners. There will be winners. But they're not going to win the World Academy. They're not going to win the Oscar. They're not going to win the Music Award. No, they're going to win the pleasure of God. God is going to be happy with them. And this is the biggest reward anyone can ever get. Another verse from the Holy Quran. And it's also about emigration. And God says in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. To those who leave the homes in the cause of Allah after suffering oppression, we will assuredly give a goodly home in this world, but truly the reward of the hereafter will be greater if they only realize this. What a great verb. To those who leave the homes in the cause of Allah after suffering oppression, do not be sad. Do not be unhappy. Do not look at this world, because this world means nothing in the sight of God. So do not be unhappy, because the reward in the hereafter is bigger. We will assuredly give a goodly home in this world. They will be given a goodly home in this world. They will be given peace of mind. They will have peace. Inner peace. That is very difficult to be God. It's not easy to get inner peace. No, they will be given inner peace. And also in the hereafter, the reward is bigger. To those who leave the home, but in the cause of Allah, this is why they left the homes. They didn't leave the homes for collecting money. They didn't leave the homes looking for women. They didn't leave the homes looking for wealth. They left the homes only for God. And God says in the Holy Quran, ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا فُتِنُوا ثُمَّ جَاهَدُوا وَصَبَرُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا. But barely thy Lord to those who leave the homes after trials and persecutions, and who thereafter strive and fight for the faith and patiently preserve. Thy Lord after all this is oft forgiven, most merciful. Now let's read these nice verses together again. But verily thy Lord to those who leave the homes after trials and persecutions. And many are them. Many Muslims are persecuted these days. Many Muslims are tired these days. Many Muslims are killed all over the world in so many different countries. Many Muslims are being killed in Afghanistan. Many Muslims are being killed in Somalia. Many Muslims are being killed in Iraq. Many Muslims are being killed in Chechnya. Many Muslims are being killed everywhere. And many Muslims are being persecuted. But there is glad tidings from God. God says to those who leave the homes after trials and persecution, and who thereafter strive and fight for the faith and patiently preserve, thy Lord after all this is oft forgiven, most merciful. God is going to grant them forgiveness. God is going to grant them mercy for how patient they were, for how great they were, for all the efforts they exerted. And God says in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Those who leave the homes in the cause of Allah and are then slain or die, on them will Allah bestow verily a goodly provision. Truly Allah is He who bestows the best provision. Don't think that those who are killed in the cause of Allah are losers. No. You are using the worldly measures, but God has different ways. God has a different view. Don't think that those who lived in persecution because they were believers and they didn't want to let the religion go away, and they didn't want to be humiliated in their religion, they wanted to keep the religion very firm, and because of this they were slain or they were killed, don't think they were losers. Don't think they are losers. No. They are winners. Because this life is not true. The true life is the coming life, not this one. If we were truly believers, we need to believe in this so hard. And this is why God says, on them will Allah bestow verily, verily a goodly provision. Truly Allah is He who bestows the best provision. And who is better than God? No one. And God says in the Holy Quran, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب. God says, and the Lord have accepted of them and answered them, never will I suffer to be lost the work of any of you, be he male or female. Ye are members one of another. Those who have left their homes or been driven out therefrom or suffered harm in my cause or fought or been slain, verily I will blot out from them their iniquities and admit them into gardens with rivers flowing beneath, a reward from the presence of Allah, and from His presence is the best of rewards. That is a very, very amazing verse. And also, part of it is about immigration. Now look at this. Those who have left their homes or been driven out therefrom or suffered harm in my cause or fought or been slain. What is the reward, O God? What is the reward? Verily I will blot out from them their iniquities. God, Allah, will blot out their iniquities, will delete all their mistakes. God will end their iniquities, no more. God will forgive them every sin. What a great reward! Because who lives on this earth without a sin? Everybody is a sinner. Like what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every son of Adam is a sinner. And the best of sinners is those are those who repent. The best of sinners are those who repent. So every one of us is a sinner. Now if we emigrate for the sake of God, then God will blot out all our sins. Gone. Gone. So look at the reward of immigration. And this is why when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to set a parable about people and their intentions, he chose emigration because it's a very hard deed. It's a very hard act. And also the reward for it is very big. Now, and the story of one of the Sahaba, whose name is Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib al-Rumi, this is one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Suhaib al-Rumi, and Rumi means the Roman. Suhaib the Roman. And that was one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May God be pleased with them. Suhaib the Roman, he came to Arabia, he came to Mecca, while he was very, very, very poor, and he was able to make like a real big wealth. He became very rich and he became very, very successful trader. Then he believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to emigrate with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. He wanted to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina and leave Mecca. Then while he's doing so, and while he was leaving Mecca to Medina, the disbelievers, the pagans, they caught him. And they said, we're going to kill you. You came to us a very poor man, and now you want to leave with all your money? You came to us as a slave, and now you want to leave with all your wealth and follow Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to leave, leave us all what you have. Leave us all your money. Leave us all your money that we gave you through all these years. So Suhaib the Roman, he said, you go to this place, and you dig, and you will find all my money, and you leave me, go away. So he gave all his money to the pagans, just for one thing, to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just for this reason, just for this very simple reason, he wanted to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then when he came to Medina and he came into the prison of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad looked at him in the eyes and said, "The trade was successful, O Suhaib. The trade was successful." Of course, the trade was profitable because he traded with God. He traded with God. He decided to leave every penny for the sake of God. And God is able to give him a better reward. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that was a successful trade. That was successful business. And of course it was. And dear brothers and sisters, it still happens. Up till now, there are people who leave their homes only for the sake of God. Wallahi, I met one of my friends, I met him in Cairo, and we were in a minibus together. And his name is Bilal. And Bilal is from Chicago, from the United States of America, and we met in Cairo. So I looked at him, I found him, looks exactly like Sunni Muslims. He like wearing the galabiyah, the Muslim cap, a beard like me, or we can say like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I said, "Oh Bilal, how you became a Muslim? I mean, tell me about your story, how you became a Muslim." So he said that I was a Freemason. Bilal said so. He said, "I was a Freemason." Then, after spending a lot of years in Freemasonry, I decided to read the Torah, the Holy Bible. So I started reading the Torah, then I stopped at a specific point in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk, and I read this line, and it was about someone coming from Paran. It was about the blessed one will come from Paran. And let me read you the text exactly. I prepared it for you. And the text goes as follows. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Shiloh. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. And this is Habakkuk 3:1-3:4. Now, so he told me, while I was studying the Torah, I read this passage. And I wondered, me and my wife, who is the Holy One coming from Mount Paran? Because when I read the book of Genesis, I knew that Ishmael and Hagar, the wife and the son of Abraham, they lived in Paran. And I know that the Arabs are from the progeny of Ishmael. So I was very curious and I wanted to know who exactly is this Holy One coming from Mount Paran. So it happened that a preacher visited me and my wife at home. So while sitting together, I asked him, "Who the Holy One mentioned here in Habakkuk 3:3? So he said, "That's Moses." I said, "No, it can't be Moses, because Moses died a long time ago. But this can't be Moses. This is the book of Habakkuk. How could you say so?" He said, "Truly, it's about Muhammad." So Bilal told me, I heard that word, I was totally astonished. I couldn't believe what I heard. I said, "What? Muhammad is a prophet?" Wallahi, I met Bilal in Chicago. Wallahi, I met him personally in Chicago, and I heard this story right from him. He said, "I was astonished. Me and my wife," I said, "Muhammad is a prophet?" He said, "Yeah, we know he's a prophet." He said, "Subhanallah, why do you go to churches? Why are you doing that if you know that Muhammad is a prophet?" He said, we just want people to be mannered. I mean, we teach them how to be good." So, I mean, Me and my wife, we went to the Islamic Center, and we testified that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his prophet. Then, we started going to the masjid, the Islamic Center, in order to pray with our brothers and sisters in the masjid. And the problem, or what hurt me, is was that I saw my brothers standing in lines, praying and listening to the Holy Quran and crying. I saw Muslim brothers listening to the Holy Quran and crying. And I didn't cry because I didn't understand Arabic. So I feel that I truly need to learn Arabic in order to understand every word of the Holy Quran, and in order to get this amazing feeling that you have when you listen to the Holy Quran. So me and my wife, we emigrated to Yemen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. From America, he emigrated to Yemen. And he said, we joined a school teaching hadith, teaching sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we kept studying there until the American embassy decided that we are no longer going to stay in Yemen. All American citizens were not supposed to stay in Yemen. So we left Yemen and we moved to Egypt in order to continue studying Arabic and Islamic religion. Subhanallah! So this emigration was for who? Was it for money? Seeking a better job? Was it going to spend some very good time? No! It was only for God and His Messenger. Only for God and His Messenger. So this man, inshallah, he's going to be given his full reward, inshallah. I hope so. And now, so, another part. Now, what are the types of immigration? And this is very important, because we've got types of immigration. Now, first of all, the definition of immigration is leaving the land, and this is the religious definition in Islam, leaving the land of kufr, the land of disbelief, to the land of belief, or the land of iman, the land of faith. So to leave the land of kufr, the land of disbelief, and to move into the land of belief. This is what we call emigration. Okay, amazing. Now, an emigration is obligatory in Islam in one case. Emigration is obligatory, is necessary. And when I say obligatory, I mean that if you don't do it, you will be punished by God. So, immigration is obligatory in one case. If you live in a foreign country, if you live in a country in which you don't find many believers, and you can't express and practice your religion freely. So in this case, immigration is obligatory, you have to leave it. For example, I'll give you an example. If your wife can't wear the Islamic costume, because the disbelievers or the pagans or whatever, people who are non-Muslims, they don't want her to wear that, and they produce laws against this. So in this case, emigration is obligatory. You need to emigrate immediately to the land of belief, to the land of Islam. But if people allow you to practice your religion freely, so no problem. And the proof is from the Holy Quran. God says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Look at the verse. When angels take the souls of those who die in sin again of the souls, they say, in what plight were you? They reply, weak and oppressed were we in the earth. They say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to move yourselves away from evil? Such men will find their abode in hell. what an evil refuge. So those people are not going to be excused by God, because the land of God was open for them, and they didn't leave the land of kufr in which they can't practice the religion. They lived there, and they didn't move away. So emigration is obligatory when you can't practice your religion freely. You have to flee with your religion, to escape with your religion to another land. So this is obligatory in Islam in this case. And look at this. When angels take the souls of those who die in sin against the souls. A sin against the souls. God didn't say a sin against Allah or a sin against me. God said a sin against the soul. Why? Because they injured themselves. They hurt themselves. Because when you commit a sin, you make God angry. And when you make God angry, you injure yourself, you hurt yourself, you destroy yourself. And this is why God says, who die in sin are gain of the souls. Okay. Now, kinds of immigration. So, the first kind, as we said, is leaving the land of kufr to the land of belief. The second is emigrating away from evil deeds. Emigrating away from evil deeds. And this is a very, very nice meaning also of hijra or emigration. To emigrate away from bad deeds, away from sins, away from evil. Because God, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is the one who avoids harming Muslims with his tongue on hands. And a muhajir, an emigrant, is the one who gives up all what Allah has forbidden. Now, let's read that together, because meaning here is very great. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is the one who avoids harming Muslims with his tongue on hands. And a muhajir, an emigrant, is the one who gives up all what Allah has forbidden. He leaves everything that Allah has forbidden. This is also an immigrant. So emigration in Islam is not only about land. It's also about evil deeds. When you emigrate away from evil deeds, you are an emigrant. And you get a good reward for that too. And the third kind from emigrant is to emigrate away from evil people. To emigrate away from evil people. To keep away from evil people. Why? Now, for example, I'll give you an example. If you discovered that your neighbor is a serial killer, what would you do? Would you be friend with him? Of course not. Why? Because you know what he is. You know that he's a criminal, he's a killer. You can't be a friend with him. And this is what God orders us to do. If we are going to mingle, to mix with evil people, they will feel that it's okay. And what they're doing is not affecting the relations with others. So sin becomes normal, and everything becomes okay. You got the idea? So, for example, if you knew that somebody is a thief, and you kept your friendship with him unchanged, you're making a big mistake. Because it's as if you're telling him, well, you're a thief, good for you, no problem, we're friends. You're encouraging him somehow to go deep into this sin and to make it more and more and more. And this is why one kind of immigration is to emigrate away from evil people. And this is why God says in the Holy Quran, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوا لا بئس ما كانوا يفعلون. And which means, curses were pronounced on those among the children of Israel who rejected faith by the son of David and of Jesus, the son of Mary, because they disobeyed and persisted in excesses. Nor did they usually forbid one another the iniquities which they committed. Evil indeed were the deeds which they did. So God is telling us that the reasons why some of the children of Israel were rejected by God, were cursed, was because they didn't use to order each other's with good things. Look at the verse very well. God says, nor did they usually forbid one another the iniquities which they committed. It was okay for them. The one of them wakes up in the morning to find his neighbor committing adultery. Well, good for you, no problem. The one of them go down the street to find someone hurting someone else. Well, okay. Great, no problem. It's not my business. They kept saying, it's not my business, it's not my business, it's not my business. Eating with evil ones, walking with evil ones, until God became angry with them. Because they somehow encouraged sins. They somehow supported sins. And this is why such a deed is not right. And this is why in Islam, and this is what you do. You have a friend. You discover that your friend is doing a great sin. What you are supposed to do is that you go talk to him, advise him. Do not do this. This is against God. God will not be happy with you. Try to be nice to him. So he insisted on doing it. Now you try step two. Start to leave him and not talk to him. Okay? And do that no more than 3 days. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is not right for anyone to desert his brother more than 3 days. So you try to desert him for 3 days until he gets back to the way of God and he calls you, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing, I'm not going to do that again. Okay? So if he did, amazing. But if you felt that abandoning him is not going to change him, try to contact him again. Okay? Try to get him back to the way of God. And you keep doing this and that. Okay? But don't ever, never make him feel that his sin is okay. Because this way you're supporting him more. You are supporting him more. Now, and this is why God says in the Holy Quran, and it's a very important verse. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And fear, turmoil, or oppression which affects not in particular only those of you who do wrong. And know that Allah is strict in punishment. So don't think that when you leave evil people doing what they want, oh, this mate has committed adultery. Great. Good for you. Keep doing that. Amazing. And you find this person using usury. Well, no problem. Keep doing that. Getting more money. Very good. And you find those people stripping over there. Well, amazing. Good for you. Keep doing that. I'm supporting that. And you keep doing this and doing this and doing this. Do you think that when God becomes angry, He's going to become angry with them only? Do you think if God wants to destroy this city, God is going to destroy only the homes and God is going to leave yours? No. No, mate. God says in the Holy Quran, and fair tumulate or oppression, which affects not in particular those of you who do wrong, and know that Allah is strict in punishment. You may die because of them. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a very good example about people who ordered others to follow the laws of God and people who commit sins. He said that those two parties are like people in a ship. In the water, there were two places in this ship. Some people on the roof of this ship, on the board of it, and some people inside it, down in the ship. So people who were in the bottom of the ship, they said, whenever we want to drink some water, we go up to the roof of the ship in order to get some water, and we annoy everybody up there. Why don't we dig a hole inside the ship and we can get water? Now look at this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is setting a very interesting parable. It's a ship, and the ship is the society. And in this ship, we have two parties. Okay, one party up there, and the other party is down there in the ship. The party that is down, he said, oh, why do we go up there whenever we need some water? We're going to dig down here and get the water we want, and we're not going to annoy those people up there anymore. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if people up there didn't stop them, they would die, all of them. All of them would die together. And if those people up there could stop them, they would save them and save themselves. Which is exactly what happens in every society. If good men didn't stand against bad people and evil people, not only bad people would be destroyed, the whole society would be destroyed. Not only bad people, huh? And this is something that we can touch everywhere, and this is why in Islam we have this principle. Okay? So we believe in freedom. Yes, we believe in freedom. But freedom that is framed with the laws of God. Because we are creatures created by God, and we have laws given to us in the Holy Quran, and we need to follow these laws. So yes, we're free, as long as we don't break the laws. The laws of who? Not the laws of you, not the laws of me, not the laws of Bush, not the laws of Tony Blair, the laws of God. We follow these laws, only these laws. Then you're free. Do whatever you want, as long as you don't break God's law. But freedom just like that? Hey, let's go commit adultery, let's be gays. No, sorry, we don't have it. And we don't need it. And we don't respect it. We respect the law of God very well. And we don't respect any other law. And do not misunderstand me by saying that. We do not respect any law that is against the law of God. Not any law. Like, for example, we respect the traffic law. We've got no problem with that. It wasn't in the Holy Quran anyway. A traffic law, amazing. So any other law that is very helpful for the society, as long as it is not against the law of God, we love it, we take it, no problem. Okay? Now, so, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of the conquest of Mecca, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no emigration after the conquest but jihad and intentions. When you are called to fighting, for fighting, go forth immediately. What does that mean? On the day of the conquest of Mecca by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the pagans broke the promise with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they killed the allies of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they broke the treaty with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the revelation came from God to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to move toward Mecca and sweep it with a very, very good army of godly men and righteous people. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca and smashed the idols around the Kaaba, asking people to worship one God. Okay? Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no emigration after the conquest, but jihad and intentions. No immigration after the conquest. لا هجرة بعد الفتح. No immigration after the conquest. But this is not the general immigration. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant no more immigration from Mecca to Medina. Because Muslims used to leave Mecca and travel to Medina. Because Medina was the land of Islam, the land of faith. And Mecca was the land of kufr, the land of disbelief, the land of worshipping idols. And now no! Now Mecca has become a Muslim city. So no more hijrah from Mecca to Medina. Now they're equal. So this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by that. But jihad and intentions. Your heart. Intentions on your heart should be for God and His Messenger. When you are called for fighting, go forth immediately. When you are called for jihad, for supporting your brothers who are being killed, for supporting the oppressed, for supporting the injured ones, go and help them, because this is manhood. And this is Islam, is to help your Muslim fellow, your brother who is dying, who is persecuted, who is being oppressed. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is going to explain this meaning, immigration isn't over till repentance is over. And repentance isn't over till the sun rises from the west. Now listen to this hadith again. Immigration isn't over till repentance is over. And repentance isn't over till the sun rises from the west. And in Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when the sun rises from the west, it is one of the greatest signs of the doomsday, the end of days. And this is why the hadith said immigration isn't over till repentance is over. And in Islam, when you make a sin, you can repent. You can go pray and ask for God's forgiveness. You can go and ask for God's forgiveness at any time. So repentance is not over till the sun rises from the west. Why? Because it's the doomsday. It is bye-bye. No more repentance. God has given you like a lot of time. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling that immigration will not be over till doomsday comes. Now. And this is why also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from the west. And when the people see it, then whoever will be living on the surface of the earth will have faith. And that is the time when no good it do to a soul to believe then, if it believed not before. Again, this hadith is very important. The hour will not be established until the sun rises from the west. And when the people see it, then whoever will be living on the surface of the earth will have faith. And that is the time when no good will it do to a soul to believe then, if it believed not before, because it's over. When the sun rises from the west, it's over. It's not the time to believe. Over. Repentance is over. And coming back to God is over. Now, and I'm going to end with the conditions for people who want to travel from the land of Islam to the land of non-Muslims, or we can call it the land of disbelief, or some people would like to call to name it the land of da'wah, or the land of calling for Islam. Okay? And we talked about hijra, immigration, which means leaving the land of kufr, the land of disbelief, and coming to the land of Islam. But some Muslims leave the land of Islam and move to the land of da'wah, or the land of calling non-Muslims to Islam, or the land of disbelief. But can anybody just leave his country and travel to another country that is not Muslim? Well, simply, scholars say, well, we've got no problem. It's okay to travel from a country that is not Muslim to another country, but with three conditions. Number one, you should have knowledge of your religion. You should be someone who understands his religion. So when you travel to another country and people talk to you about Islam, especially because Islam these days is attacked from every side and from every place, and people are attacking Islam, and alhamdulillah, they attack Islam, and the number of Muslim is increasing all the time, and it will keep going like that, inshallah, because it's in the will of God. And we've got no problem when Islam is being attacked by the enemies of God. We have no problem with that. We're happy with it. But you as a Muslim, when you travel from the land of Islam to the land of disbelief, you should have knowledge of your religion, so when people talk to you about it, you know how to answer, you know how to give information. This is number one. Number two, if you are moving to a land in which drinking wine is okay and no problem, eating pork is nice and clean, debauchery is, ooh, that's okay, stripping, welcome, no problem. So this is a country that is full of sins and full of fitna trials. So when you travel there, you need to know yourself very well. And I mean by knowing yourself that, you know exactly who you are. Are you those kind of people who are firm and they can control themselves? Are you one of those people who are easily affected, so you can't resist seeing all these sins in front of you? You can't keep yourself away from that. So if you feel that you are not a tough person and you can't resist seeing that without sharing and taking part in it, so please don't go there. Don't throw yourself into trials and sins with your hands. Okay? So you have to be good-mannered. And number three, you should have good reasons for traveling. For even the land of Islam, the land that is full of masjids and adhan and recitation of the Holy Quran, you should have good reasons for that. Like what? Like you're traveling for business. This is a good reason. Making money, no problem. Looking for a better job, good reason. Education, good reason. Health, good reason. But not just for taking tours. Not just for having fun. Because you are putting yourself in front of lots of difficulties. For what reason? Leaving the Muslim society, okay, which is somehow these days, and I feel sorry when I say that, really many Muslim societies these days are not following Islam. And I feel very sorry when I say that, but whatever. It is a land in which you can hear adhan, and you can see the Holy Quran recited, listen to the Holy Quran, and a land in which you find, you know, like the Islamic principles okay with people, and you're leaving all that to a totally different culture, you should have good reason for that. But I wish that God, inshallah, would be happy with us, and I hope we all be able, inshallah, to attain God's pleasure. And I ask God deeply from my heart to gather me together with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with all prophets, with Jesus Christ, with Moses, with Abraham. I hope we get together with them, inshallah, in paradise, of course, by the mercy of God. And thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, and I hope to see you again in another episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be on you.